Hi, I'm Barry Conrad, and this is Banter with BC. Cheers, bro.
Cheers, bro.
And today I'm here with Thomas Malicelli.
Yeah.
Thomas, you want to introduce yourself to the people?
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me first and foremost. I'm Thomas Malicelli. I am Italian originally, half English, been in Sydney now for 10 years. Probably know me because I was recently one of the three bachelors on Channel 10, looking for love. Didn't find it. And I'm someone who is just really passionate about health, wellness, biohacking, and just generally helping people feel amazing.
And to kick things off, we'd like to start with something called Two Truths and a Lie. Do you know how this works?
Yeah, two truths and one lie. I set a house on fire. I am a global champion. I used to be Prince Charming at Disney World in Florida.
You used to be Prince Charming at Disney World in Florida. I feel like that's the truth. You're a global champion. And he didn't set the house on fire.
Okay, so the lie is I wasn't Prince Charming. I used to work at Disney, but I wasn't Prince Charming.
That was too obvious. So basically I lost.
Give me yours.
You ready for one?
Yeah. Okay.
I was born in Brazil and grew up in London and South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm allergic to dust and cat fur.
Okay.
And I used to be a chain smoker.
Okay.
Yep, what do you got?
That's a really good one. I'm gonna say that you weren't born in Brazil, you're born in South Africa, so that was a lie.
How did you know that? Like, you're right, you're exactly right.
Yes.
You're right, okay, we both, well, I got mine wrong, you got yours right. Let's see.
Yeah.
Digging, let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
So you're allergic to cat fur as well, same as me?
Yeah, and even more so to horse dandruff. Like, if I'm even remotely close to a horse.
Horse.
Yeah.
So that's very specific. That we can wear.
My
very.
I was born in a farm, and my mom has been horse riding since she was little.
All right.
And so her biggest dream was like to get me on a horse, and obviously I never could because as soon as I would go on a horse, my body would just swell, couldn't breathe.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, that's it. Staying away from horses. This is so good.
Right.
Mm.
Cobbler day. What's one of the most spontaneous things you've ever done?
That's such a good question. Gosh, I've done so many spontaneous things. Trying to think if I can keep this like normal or sexual.
No, go.
Normal.
Let's go normal. You want.
So I got my heart broken when I was 23. I think it was probably one of the only times that I was heavily depressed in my life. I really hit rock bottom, and I remember one day I was by my pool and I was literally thinking to drown myself. And
really?
So this got really dark quickly, sorry, but that's not the point. I didn't drown myself. I went up in my bedroom on a computer and I searched for hospitality experiences abroad, and Disney World came up. And so in the space of 2 days, I got my visa and ticket and then went to Florida for a whole year. Left Italy, never came back.
Cue Prince Charming, Disney World.
Yeah.
So Orlando, so you stayed there the whole 2 years, and how did you find it?
It was amazing. Initially, I was apprehensive because I was leaving my hometown. I didn't know anyone there. I was out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
But then I had the best year of my life. Like, you know, you think of Disney World being this magical place where everybody is smiling and, you know, there's just magic fairy tales everywhere. But behind the scene where with the cast members, it's just a party. It's every single day is just a party. So there's people from all over the world there. And every night there will be, for example, Australian guys versus German girls in drinking games and
At Disney
in Orlando.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So I had a blast. That's fantastic.
Awesome. And then New York straight after that. Which part of New York were you staying in?
I was staying in Long Island, a town called Merrick.
Never been to Merrick. Is that, I'm trying to get my bearings.
It's 45 minutes from Manhattan.
What's the vibe like?
In Merrick?
Yeah.
Oh, it would be similar to where we are now, Maroubra. It's like a small town, quiet. Yeah, family orientated, I guess.
Minus the beach.
Minus the beach. There is a beach near there called Long Beach, which is, I think, 15 minutes away from Merrick. Very nice, but not like this.
I can't wait to get back to New York. Seriously, I was there twice last year.
So good.
I really want to go back.
There's something about New York, hey? It's the vibe.
It's the energy. As soon as you land, you feel like a sense of possibility. You feel like anything can happen.
Yeah.
You feel like everyone's after something. They have a goal. And I like that.
Yes.
That intensity.
They're driven.
I love that.
Yeah, like in your perfect, in your ideal life, would you be living in New York?
Yeah. Didn't even let you finish that question. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's my favorite city in the whole world. Mm. And anyone who follows me knows New York is my number one. But I also love Australia as a country. It's such a great place.
Yeah.
Like the beauty is unmatched as well, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. In my Hinge bio or Tinder bio, I need to put in something like looking for an American girl. Mm-hmm. You know, bonus points if you have an American accent.
Swipe right. What are you not very good at?
I'm not very good at many things, but I think one of the things that I'm not good at that bothers me, and I still haven't done nothing about it, what? Is I'm not a good dancer.
For real?
Yeah.
But I thought you DJ and you're into your music and stuff, so you're not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when DJing, I'm DJing house music or deep house, so it's like, you know, everybody can do that one. If I go in a club and there's R&B music or hip hop and I see people with the moves like twerking and just like owning it, I'm like, fuck, I wish I could dance. I'm terrible.
So what are you doing when like an R&B hip hop sound comes on? You're in the club.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
I'm usually probably sitting at the bar watching people dance, having a drink, doing these with my head. What about you, man?
I've said before that I can't surf. I really want to learn. But one thing that I want to do is learn another language. I've always loved Spanish. It's a sexy language. It's really cool. French. I failed French miserably in school.
Did you?
Yeah. My French teacher hated me. I can prat the biggie Afrikaans.
Okay.
Which is like, I can speak a little Afrikaans.
Yeah.
Because in South Africa, we have to learn English and Afrikaans compulsory.
Yeah.
School. But I want to add another language to my...
That's good.
Mega tricks.
Yeah.
What's the weirdest job you've been asked to work at? Like an event or...
Whoa.
I did sort of like a hen's event with like not much clothes on.
Yeah.
So anything that's kind of weird.
Oh, okay.
Give me like a funny...
Yeah. One of my best friends before he started seeing his current girlfriend was a stripper. And he got asked to go and work on this yacht for a hen's party. Hmm. And then he said, you want to come and work with me? They want a second guy as well. And I ended up going with him. And initially it was just us in jeans, serving them and, you know, playing games and stuff.
Like topless waiting?
Topless waiting.
Okay.
Yeah. And then afterwards they said to us, do you mind taking your jeans off? And so my friend, you know, entrepreneur was like, yes, of course, it's gonna be $200 extra for the both of us. They're like, okay, sweet.
Yeah.
And so we ended up finishing off with just our underwear. And then they wanted to play games and he was just attaching post-its on our bodies. Yes. And then the girls were blindfolded trying to guess where these post-its were, but they had to take them off with their mouth. And so I felt like a piece of meat essentially for those 3 hours.
So you felt like that?
Yes, yeah. Exactly like that. It was fun though. I love all things like that.
Would you do something like that now if someone asked you to do?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
For the right price?
For the right price, of course. Yeah, I'm a man of service. Yeah, whatever I need to do to pleasure, I'll do it.
Scorpio.
Yeah, that's
it. Steroids.
How good is this burrata?
This burrata is absolutely amazing.
Mm. This concept of being on a podcast while eating is probably one of my favorites.
Yeah?
So good.
This is not going to work, so I'm not going to do that right now. I'm just going to try to...
Not bad.
What did you take away from your experience on The Bachelors?
Ooh.
And how has it affected your view of relationships?
What a question. I think the biggest lesson that I have taken away from The Bachelor is to trust my gut. That a red flag is a red flag. And I know this term is used a lot now, but like your gut will always tell you what's right and what's wrong. Mm. And so I ended up making some decisions on the show because I was in my head and I wanted to like make things work. But then my gut was like, oh no. I ended up like following my head as opposed to my gut anyway. Obviously it didn't turn out the way that it was meant to be because my gut was telling me. So. Biggest lesson for sure, trust your gut. Your gut always knows.
And has that affected the way you view relationships?
Yeah, I think now going into a date or knowing, you know, what I want, I definitely make sure that we are both on the same page. We both have, you know, some of the most important values aligned because I've realized that compatibility is really important.
Yeah,
and you know, after the initial infatuation will go away and you know, obviously the honeymoon phase, then you have to really be with a person for who they are, what they stand for, and that's what I really care about at the moment.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I used to be the guy that thought, oh my God, you know, I wanna have a blonde girlfriend, beautiful, sexy. And now I realize that the most important things for me is obviously having somebody who is, yeah, takes care of her body, but like somebody who makes me feel seen, somebody who understands me, somebody who actually wants to spend quality time with me. And the fluff is just the fluff.
Very interesting. Following on from that, what is your biggest rejection in life?
The biggest one probably was me being fired from Disney.
How did that happen? Was this after like a night of craziness with the other workers or?
No, so essentially I made a mistake. One of my runners sent a wrong dishes to one of my tables and I had no idea. And then the manager called me up to see what happened because the table complained. And I said to them, look, it wasn't me. I have got no idea what happened. But obviously because I was in charge of that section, it was still my fault. Like, you are supervising and you need to know what's happening. And as a punishment, he gave me, I think it was like 500 roll-ups to do at the end of my shift. And that night I had to go.
What is
that? So you're rolling cutlery into a napkin.
500.
500, that's at least like an hour and a half. The napkin is very sophisticated. And that night I was like, no way, like I need to go out and have a party with my friends. And yeah. So I didn't do the punishment. And then the day after, he called me after I paid rent. And he's like, Thomas, you know, you're one of the best waiters, blah, 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 blah. But what you did is unacceptable. You refused the punishment in front of your coworkers. And so I need to set the example. Give me your ID back, you're terminated. That's the word he used. You're terminated.
Terminated.
And I had $1,000 in my bank account because I would spend all my money partying, obviously. And I was like, I need to go back to Italy. Like, I don't know what else to do. And then luckily my girlfriend was like, okay, let's sort this out. And she went and quit her job. And then we drove to her house in New York.
That is it's like you are the weakest link, goodbye. You're terminated.
See you later.
See you later.
Yeah.
Can they legally do that as well? They could just let you go.
Yeah. Because there's so many people that apply for Disney, they've got like a surplus of cast members.
You're not the first one. We got like a whole list back here.
Yeah.
See you later, go back to you.
Yeah. On the yacht, I felt like a piece of meat. At Disney, I felt like a number.
And how did you feel on the bachelor?
I'm a bachelor, I felt a bit like a piece of meat as well. Yeah, to be honest. What a wicked experience that was.
What made you decide to go on that show?
Funny story. So I was watching Too Hot to Handle on Netflix.
Which one? Which season?
This first season with Harry Josie.
Only watched the one where there was a South African guy.
Oh.
The black guy,
yeah.
I think it was
probably
season two or three. That's the only one that I watched. I was in New York and I watched it.
You like it?
I mean, you couldn't look away.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I don't watch reality TV. What's the next episode?
Same. Yeah. I was like, shit. So I watched it. I watched the whole season in like 2 days. And I was like, Jesus, like these guys are all hot. They're all looking for love. And I was like, I was just working along at home. And I was like, I really want to go on the RTP show because I was single. I'm ready to find love. And I was also quite attracted to the idea of putting myself out of my comfort zone. And perhaps even getting the visibility that you get on a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
And so I started visualizing and manifesting. And then 2 weeks later, I received a message from a casting girl. And she was like, hey, we're looking for hot guys for a TV show. Are you single and are you interested? And I was like, yeah, she's joking. And I was like, single and ready to mingle. What's the next step? And then we went on Zoom calls. And after 3 weeks, I was on the show. And
that's crazy. What did your family think about it?
My family was all for it. My mom has always been someone that tells me, you know, just go and have experience, just go and do it. And so,
I always think about the whole thing where you can't ever get time back and it's all about experiences. So if you want to go for something, just go for it. And it's better to go, wow, I did that, rather than what would have happened if I didn't, you know? So that regret.
Absolutely. You know? I'm curious, so what is your biggest rejection?
I auditioned for the Wolverine movie. I'm like a huge Marvel fan. I was like getting along with the process and then I got the email saying, oh, Will.i.am is now in the mix and he's coming and he's got the role. And I was like, anyone who knows me, I've got X-Men comics in storage still. Like,
That's so cool.
Like a fanatic. So getting that audition was a huge thing. And as it was progressing, I was like, this could maybe happen. And then Will.i.am came in and
just took it.
That was a rejection. I felt it.
Yeah.
It was hard. That's the situation.
Have you ever taken a date at a Marvel movie?
Nah, have you?
Yes.
You have. At a Marvel movie.
Yeah. You know what the biggest red flag is?
What?
When they leave as the movie ends. because you know after the titles there's a second.
So she
left and I was like, red flag, we're not dating anymore after this.
Yeah. Just block her while you're sitting and watching The Greatest Car. Which actor would play you in a movie about your life?
Which actor would play me? I'm gonna say Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Go for the big guns.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think he's, I really like Brad. Brad Pitt or Chris Hemsworth? Brad Pitt.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
I just love him. He's a great actor. He's got a nice body. He's sexy. And for some reason, like every single movie he has done, I've enjoyed. So I think if he was ever to offer to play my role, I would accept. Yeah. Gladly.
Like, here you go. Here's the contract. What cheers you up on a bad day?
On a bad day, exercise. Yeah, I always turn to exercise whenever I'm having a bad day, and I like to change my state through movement. So I'll go for a run, I'll go for a class. Also, a good conversation with a good friend would always help. You know, often, I don't know how you feel about this, but as men especially, like, I have been conditioned from childhood to not open up so much. Yeah. And when I'm feeling down, as a sign of weakness. And so whenever I end up calling a friend and I'm vulnerable, and share how I really feel, then just that sharing aspect makes me feel so much lighter and I suddenly feel better.
Yeah, totally.
So having those friends around that can encourage you to have a proper nice conversation.
I think that's awesome, and I think it's so true, especially as men. We don't grow up in a world where it's encouraged. Talk about how you feel. Talk about, like, why you're down, why you're feeling this way. And now that I think times are changing slowly, it's so valuable just to talk to a man and just like catch up and say, how's it going, and be real as well. Like, obviously talk what we're going to talk about, but then also get into it.
Yeah.
And there's no shame in that.
Yeah. If something is troubling you, say
absolutely.
It.
And any guys watching this as well, I'd hope that they
take it on board.
All right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Your circle's everything, man. Like, being able to be real and transparent is key.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a quote that says, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, right? If you hang around four friends that are fit, you'll be the fifth one. If you hang around four friends that are millionaires, you'll be the fifth one.
Yeah.
If you hang around four friends that smoke, you'll be the fifth one. I feel like you're a good friend.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What makes you say that?
You've got good banter.
Best. Banter was good. What do you got?
It's on brand.
No, you got good energy, man. Good energy, you're interested. You're not just interesting, you're interested. So you always ask good questions. Like, it makes people feel comfortable and genuine. Good. It's nice to see.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Likewise. Yeah.
Thank you.
What's the biggest stereotype or misconception surrounding your job?
So that's a really good one. I'm aligned with a company, a network marketing company. And people, as soon as they hear the word network marketing, they think, oh my God, he's in a pyramid scheme, he's in a cult, he scams people, how could he do this? And they just think it's super negative. Yeah. Especially after The Bachelor, I got lots of negative feedback from being in a pyramid scheme.
What are people saying?
Yeah, they was like, oh, he's part of a pyramid scheme, he sells shakes to kids, he's a scammer. He's a really nice guy, shame he's in a pyramid scheme. And there's that negative connotation because people just don't know. People still think that, you know, network marketing companies are what they used to be in the 1980s or 90s, when people used to fill up their garages with products and then go bankrupt. It's not like that.
And so what do people have an issue with about that?
People have an issue in the sense they think that when you are part of a network marketing company, you're in it to sell a product that doesn't give results to people. And also, a common misconception is you're only in it to make money. And in reality,
right, you
only make money if you are selling products and if people are buying the products, which means that to buy products, the product needs to be good. It's one of those things where, like, you know, I don't want to sell to people. You don't have to. And I love objections because it gives me the chance to educate people on what it actually is. But that's probably the biggest misconception. Like, no, let's have a chat about it. It's not like that.
I can tell that it affects you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you can talk about it. It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think anything to do with, especially now, with health and wellness, there's so many conflicting points of view about keto, paleo, vegetarian, vegan, carnivore, supplements, no supplements, pre-workout.
It's so confusing, right?
As someone who's into biohacking and health and wellness, how do you stay true to what your own philosophy is And how do you block the noise out about that?
Yeah, and that's why I'm so passionate about biohacking, because biohacking essentially is a do-it-yourself approach where you are self-experimenting on your own body, what is good for you. Like,
what do you mean self-experimenting? Okay, explain that a bit more.
So, you know, like you said, right, there's keto, there's intermittent fasting, there's isogenics, and there's this and there's that. You might have amazing results with keto, or you go vegan and your energy improves. I probably will go vegan and I will have worse results than you, because we're not the same. And with biohacking, it's all about getting to know your body really well and then finding the approach that best works for you. And so for me, it's all about understanding myself first and being okay with not following the trends, but I guess putting my mad scientist hat on and then figuring out what is good for my body.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the approach that I like to use, and also that I teach my customers, my clients. I'm like, okay, don't follow the masses because they're lost. Let's figure out what's actually good for your body.
Because it's all individual. Everyone's body is completely different.
Completely different.
We get sold, this is the way, you know, the only way. Yeah. You have to follow this plan. But everyone's body is different.
Yeah.
So I do like the approach of, I'll try it.
Yeah.
If it works for my body, I'll stick with it. If it doesn't work, I'll change it.
Correct.
So it's fair, right?
Yeah. Obviously, I think, you know, it's interesting to know the principles and the staples of good health and fitness, because they never change. But then it's about getting to know the other hacks and how they can improve your fitness, your performances, etc.
Thomas.
He said my name.
Pull out your phone.
Oh, shit.
What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh, gosh.
See if he plays ball. Oh, that's not, I mean, you can't really see this if you zoom in, but it's men's linen pant trousers, summer pants.
I'm so glad it was nothing like...
Huh?
Nothing all
right. At least you did it, though.
Yeah.
It could have been anything, right?
Yeah.
It looks comfortable. Thank you, sir.
That looks so delicious.
What do we have here?
That's a... Thank you. Lychee coffee lime.
What was that?
Lychee coffee lime. vodka. Awesome.
What's your favorite drink to make?
Old fashioned.
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
Well, this...
Negroni old fashioned.
Fanta with BC's not over yet, so we'll see.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
What's your weirdest habit?
I don't know if this is a weird habit or not, but I'm a heliophile.
Huh?
So a heliophile is... helio means sun. File is addiction. I'm addicted to the sun.
Okay.
If the sun is out, even for just 5 minutes, 10 minutes, right there in that corner behind that car, you will see me sitting next to that car in the sun.
Trying to grab the last race.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I will often be in the sun for hours. Like, I will take my work outside of on my balcony and just work in the sun. Would that be a weird habit?
I mean, it's a first. I haven't heard anyone talk about that before, but it's a good habit. We need vitamin D. So
Yeah.
No, I mean, you got to put the slip. You got to.
Yeah.
Is that an Italian thing, or is it just a you thing?
I think it's a me thing. Yeah. I became a heliophile probably 3 years ago. To put it in my bio.
I've just never heard that before.
I just describe it as being solar powered.
Like, yeah.
Solar powered. Profile. Solar powered.
Human solar panel. Okay. I like that.
That's good. I try to catch the sun before 10.
Yes.
It just feels different too.
Yeah.
It's warm and nice.
Yeah.
But then it gets a bit harsh after that.
Yeah. So a big biohacking tool is if you manage to get to the, you know, to the beach or watch the sunrise when the sun first rises and literally look at it. It has tremendous, beautiful, positive effects for your health. Circadian rhythm, vitamin D, energy, mental clarity. It's insane. When it first comes up and then when it first goes down.
Look at it.
But yeah, really, really beneficial. You know, when you go on holiday, people will obviously don't work for a couple of weeks, and that's okay, but they're still eating, they're still drinking, and they come back and they feel so good.
Yeah.
If you think about it, most people, it's because they spend so much time in the sun as well, and that just really charges you up.
A lot of people from the UK and London, they're like, oh bro, I'm so depressed or so down, because there's just no sun.
No sun.
Vitamin D.
Vitamin D. What's your weirdest habit?
Checking at a hotel.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
I have to, I don't know why I do this, but I turn the AC down to 18 degrees.
Okay.
So as soon as I get in the room, I close the door, lock it.
Yeah.
And then I have to put it on 18 degrees. It's like so cold. But
yeah.
For me, it's bliss.
Interesting.
And everyone was like, bro, it's freezing in here. It's like, well, this is normal. So I have to put to 18. And another one is if I walk into a room, if it's not my house, I won't do this. But if it's my place, I'll try to change the lighting.
Really?
Make it mood lighting.
Okay.
Because I don't like harsh
atmosphere.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I feel allergic to it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's same. Like if I walk into a room, down lights are off straight away.
Oh, same.
So this is, it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so big on atmosphere as well.
Like, yeah, because it just adds to the vibe,
yeah,
right? So I know you said you're into your music as well.
Yes.
What's your favorite Aussie song from the last couple of years?
Oh, gosh.
It has to be Aussie. But come on, you're like, you do DJing and stuff too, right?
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, you've got me on this one. You've really got me on this one. Okay, I can do this. It's funny because somebody on the show made fun of me as well because I didn't know any of the Aussie singers. Janae, if you're listening, is this for you? I listen to any kind of genre based on my mood, but house, I love deep house, pop, of course. Oh my God, they're my favorite band. Rufus. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
What life challenge are you most proud of conquering?
I think I've learned most of my lessons from breakups. One particular breakup in 2020, me and my partner at the time broke up and I thought it was going to be the best decision ever. Mm. And then after 2 months of me being single, it hit me. Yeah. Like I literally felt like a bus hit me in the face kind of. And normally back in the day, I would have distracted myself through partying, through, you know, taking drugs and alcohol and stuff. Mm. But this time I was like, I really want to feel what's going on. And so I ended up just staying at home and just trying to feel all those emotions. And I started reading books and then I started picking up books about relationships and women and sex. And for the first time in my life, I understood and confronted my ego.
Elaborate, what do you mean?
I was essentially living from a very egotistical place where I was selfish. And although I had always treated my partner really well, I didn't really prioritize her or our relationship or our future. It was only about me and me being seen and me getting this. Mm. And because of that, we weren't fulfilled in our relationship. And then we ended up obviously on the rocks.
Right.
And so I understood that for 33 years of my life, I was living behind a mask of what people thought about me and me putting on that facade. And I felt naked. I felt like a failure.
Yeah, right.
And it's almost like my identity got stripped away. And I think that for me, that moment was really crucial because I did the work internally to figure out what trauma I had to address and then not take it into the next relationship, if that makes sense. So that was probably my proudest moment. Yeah, and then, you know, things happen after that. I don't know if you can relate. Then because I ended up healing and growing, I was like, fuck, now I really want to have my girlfriend back because I'm a different version of myself. Mm. But then you can't play on broken strings at the same time. So
yeah,
that person comes into your life to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
The blessing is to find it.
And the ship sail. Like, you know,
yeah,
you can part with someone and then you can learn so much about yourself and work on yourself. And then by the time you come around, they're gone.
Or
vice versa.
Yeah.
You know, they can work on themselves and, like, you know, send you a message and say, hey, I know it's been a while, I'm good now. And then it's like, well,
yeah,
you know,
see you later,
respect, and that's fine, but I'm just not there anymore.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy because at the time you feel like that's everything.
Mm-hmm.
But then as soon as you step away and zoom out from that situation and realize everything actually is from the inside out.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just changes everything, like the lens that you see light through.
Yeah.
And relationships and everything. So I completely get what
you mean. It's an inside job, hey.
It's an inside job. And well, that's awesome that you,
yeah.
Because a lot of, I want to speak for guys in particular, not that you ever graduate from it, because you're always a work in progress, but a lot of guys that I know, they just think everything they do is great.
Yeah.
It's always the other person.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
bit of a... It all starts with us, man.
Yeah.
So I totally understand that.
Would you say that you got a few lessons from breakups or relationships?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially I'm an all or nothing kind of a guy. So when I go into a relationship, I give everything to it.
Mm.
My heart, my soul, my time, very communicative, all those things. And sometimes, like, when that is taken away, you can feel like everything's done.
Mm.
But with time, and you can zoom out more, you realize it's a partnership. It's not just about this person. It's not like you need to earn their... It's teamwork.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, cool, I'm lucky to have you, but you're lucky to have me too.
Absolutely.
And learning that value and that self-worth because when you're too much about, oh, I'm gonna be chase, that's not attractive.
Nah.
You know, you gotta have something to offer and be self-assured. So I think with time and learning that, it's the stepping change of the way I see.
Yeah.
And so I totally get it.
Yeah, love that.
It's good.
Cheers to that, man.
Cheers to that. And to finish things off, I wanna hit you with some fast trivia. You ready for this?
Let's go.
Okay, question number one. Name the three main macronutrients we need for energy, Mr. Biohacker.
Protein, fats, carbs.
Yep. What three colors make up the Italian flag?
Green, white, and red.
Got it. Which French free diver broke the deepest dive world record descending to a depth of 120 meters in 3 minutes and 34 seconds?
Monsieur Depenoff.
No. Arnaud Gerald.
Oh. Yeah. Actually didn't know that.
Which organ inside the human body is considered the largest?
People will say the skin, but it's not. It's the one which surrounds the whole body, and I forget the name. It's similar to placenta, but not.
Can I take a guess?
Yes.
The organ inside.
So it has to be lungs?
Liver.
Liver?
Yeah.
Bigger than the lungs?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Athletes who practice blank report stronger performance in sports as it improves the focus and attention.
Meditation.
Mindfulness,
yeah. Same.
Awesome. So you got 4 out of 5.
Okay.
How do you feel?
Good.
Thomas, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah.
Awesome. Feel good.
If you love this episode of Banter with BC, don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next time.